Thank you, Cheryl. And hello, everyone. Happy, happy Tuesday. It is good to be here with you all for the Gentle Healing Group as we are in our Send Review. So what do you think of that? And pretty soon, it won't be too long till we're going to be into three digits. I remember when I was doing the workbook the first time and I hit day 100, I thought, wow, I've stuck with it this long. So that's good. We're doing really well. I will begin then by playing a song. I don't know if I want to say, I don't know if I have any lead into the song. I think I'll just play it and let you all listen to the words. This is Mandy Moore singing, and the name of the song is Only Hope. I love this song, by the way.
Inside of my soul,
You're My Only Hope. It's a nice song on the day that we are remembering that only God's plan for salvation will work. Also, I love the part when she says, "So I lay my head back down and I lift my hands to pray." Because laying my head back down to me symbolizes, you know, letting go of the thinking mind, letting go of being absorbed in thought. So yeah, I lay my head back down and I lift my hands to pray. To be only yours, I pray. It's a gorgeous song, isn't it? I love it. Even when just the first few notes start playing, I kind of get chills. I really like that song. All right, so we are here then to review first our homework from the last week. In the last week, we've been working on workbook lessons 80 through 86, which has primarily been a review. And then also we read NTI 2 Timothy. And then in addition to that, if you are in the sharing contemplation group or if you read the tips when they're posted on the website, you've noticed there have been posts this week that are intended to inspire us, you know, because sometimes it can feel like, you know, well, often when we begin new things, we're inspired. You know, we begin something new, we're all excited about it. But then after a period of time, that original inspiration can begin to wear off. And so I thought it would be nice to use the review to kind of reinvigorate us again so that when we start on lesson 91, is it? I think it's 91 is the first lesson after the review, that hopefully we are reinvigorated again, just as we were 90 lessons ago when we started lesson one. And I've also invited everyone else to share what inspires them, either in the sharing and contemplation group in Facebook or to even bring it here, to bring it here tonight. So that means that tonight when you're sharing, you may be sharing on workbook lessons 80 through 86. You may be sharing on NTI 2 Timothy, but you also may be sharing on anything that motivates you, that encourages you to continue this path of practice on a daily basis. You know, even if you have a song to play, that's okay. You know, anything that inspires you. So, with that said, who would like to get us started tonight on the sharing? All right, Tony, the mic is yours.
Hi, everyone. A couple of things. one of the things that I feel very inspired about is some of the music that you have been have asked us to listen to as part of the Gentle Healing Group. And that one song, I Am, just blew me away. Every time I hear it, I just really take it in. And I just feel like I'm becoming one with that song. I love it so much. And I really appreciate you bringing this stuff to us. And the other thing I wanted to say is that I'll just read what I wrote. I just watched the video Regina posted for the Gentle Healing Group called Happy Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon. I immediately started crying and felt extremely sad. As I write, tears and sadness are still present. I realized that I avoid watching the news or reading the news because it usually covers disaster and tragedy. I wonder if I am avoiding the news with the desire to protect myself from sadness. But I realize sadness must be experienced instead of denying or avoiding it. It will never be released if it is not looked at and experienced. Allowing the sadness to be without telling the story about the sadness is what I want to do. Feeling the sadness does motivate me to know and share the love that we are. And I do want to heal. I want to know thyself for all of us. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I did notice during the weekly gathering when I was talking about our feelings as liars that you asked about sadness, and maybe this is why. The interesting thing about sadness is that sadness is the one false emotion, which means, you know, it's not a part of our truth. But sadness is the one false emotion that I do find a motivating factor in. So that's kind of interesting when it's combined with compassion. You know, so when I do see something on the news, like I, you know, there are a couple things I distinctly remember really propelling me. One was, you know, about 3 years ago now, I think. Maybe it was two. But when that young man walked into the school in Connecticut, the elementary school, and shot so many children. Do you remember that? And, of course, teachers as well. You know, there was great sadness. But also what came to me with that sadness was this great motivating factor to get even better at not listening to the ego in my own mind, because I understood that appearances, yes, Newtown, Connecticut, thank you, Dove, because I understood that appearances like that come from the ego thought system. So I was very motivated as well. And in fact, I remember that year on January 1, I did a teaching based on that, and based on, you know, how important it is that we learn to let go of our own judgments in our own mind, because they are the energy that leads to appearances like this. So it was very motivating for me. Another time when sadness was very motivating to me was when there was a Jordanian pilot who needed to shoot himself out of his jet. What's it called? Eject out of his jet, because it was going down, and he had to eject over ISIS territory, and so they took him as a prisoner. But then when they decided to execute him, the way they did it was they put him in a cage, and they poured gasoline on him, and they burnt him alive. And that was just, it just broke my heart. And, you know, I cried for like 2 hours, but when I was done with that, I was done with not loving. You know, like I didn't want to not love anyone. I wanted to love everyone, even ISIS. You know, I just thought it's not love that creates, you know, not love, if you could call that a thing, let's hyphenate it, not love is what creates situations like that. And I do not want to be a part of not love. I only want to be a part of love. So again, it was very, very motivating. So although sadness is not a truth, and in fact, kind of the lie that sadness tells is that, you know, things should be different than they are. You know, when things are happening exactly the way they need to happen because of the believing that's going on in our minds. But I think there's a truth in sadness too, and the truth is maybe that it, you know, it's the same thing as the lie, that it really doesn't have to be this way, right? It doesn't have to be this way, but of course what needs to change is us, me. I'm what needs to change. And so sadness is the one emotion that even though I recognize it's not a part of the true self, if we were totally awakened to the true self, to the point where we saw nothing but the true self, we would not experience sadness. At least not the way I understand it. You know, the way I understand the teaching is we don't experience a world. So if we don't experience a world, we would not experience sadness. So in that way, it's not a true emotion. But it's probably the one emotion that I actually find to have a motivating factor in it, if looked at appropriately. You know, if there's not blame and you know, and desperation in it. So, and it sounds like maybe it was affecting you that way as well, Tony. So thank you for sharing. All right, Bart, the mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina. These in a sense, really moved me, but also problem I or we have is believing the lies of the ego, which tells us about guilt, shame, and every kind of sin, and never speaks of the real problem.
Bart, we could not hear you, so maybe your mic was over your head. Check your mic. Letting go.
And Bart, you're invited to take the mic again, because we didn't hear you, so you can repeat everything that you said. The mic is yours.
Good thing I didn't talk a lot. On the Course in Miracles, the only problem I or we have is believing the lies of the ego, which tells us about guilt and shame and every kind of sin, but never speaks of the real problem, which is separation. And I'm going to go to NTI because that really moved me. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 1. It is time to look within at the darkness that blinds you to our awareness of love, of life. And you will see many things, all of which are false. And so that moved me to say, to write. From this I see that I have, always have, the Holy Spirit with me, and I have nothing to fear. God is only and always infinite love, and all the negatives that cross my thinking are of the ego. God is experiencing within me the emotion of the day or hour. I can just watch with awareness the emotion play out without being attached to it. This always have been, and I call on the Holy Spirit to see that it is not my real self having the experience, but only the body, mind, experiencing the emotion. I just have to watch that my thinking does not rob both of us of the pure feeling that is feeling emotion that is playing out. I mixed up my words there. And so this is my take on 2 Timothy, but all of them spoke to me. And so I'm going to release the mic as soon as I get it set up.
Thank you very much, Bart, for your sharing. And you have a lovely, lovely voice when we can hear you. And Jacqueline, the mic is yours.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Again. wanted to read from my session with the Holy Spirit. I don't know, my journal, whatever you want to call it, from reading 2 Timothy chapter 1. I asked, what would you have me remember about this reading? And I wrote, you are here to experience. You fear unfettered experience because you believe your ability to sort your feelings keeps you from being overwhelmed by them. You believe that unfettered feelings would reveal the root of badness at the core of your being. Your ability to reason, you believe, is what stems the tide of madness that would otherwise ensue. I tell you, this is not so. Learn rather to ask yourself, do I feel in this moment? Not what do I feel, not how do I feel, but do I feel? Then search for the feeling and embrace it. There is no need to name it. Naming it is an attempt to corral it. Simply look within for feeling and honor that feeling by sitting with it for a few moments. Do this as often as you remember, and you will have done as I have asked. That's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jacqueline. And I couldn't be happier that you are asking within like that. You know, such an open question. What would you have me remember? You know, just gorgeous and getting, you know, perfect guidance, for you today. That's the way the guidance always comes when we ask for it, right? It's the perfect guidance for me today. So thank you so very much for doing that. And please continue. All right, Ken, the mic is yours.
Well, this has been a very interesting week with the lessons about grievances and how we're here to experience. Because in this last week, I've been down in California for the last 3 weeks preparing for moving, boxing up, throwing away junk from 20 years of accumulation. And so yesterday was the first day of driving a 26-foot moving van from Southern California up to Pueblo. And if you've ever been in a diesel truck, it's rather deafening, the roar of the diesel engine. And so I download audios to my phone and play through my headphones, the earbuds, which then blocks out all the noise from the truck. And I decided to download the 4 mini-series episodes of Nirmala and the 8 episodes of Gina Lake. So that was 12 hours of nonstop, plus all of our lessons. And at about the drive from Riverside to Albuquerque is 12 hours. And that's 12 hours driving 75 miles an hour. That's one or two gas stops. Well, in a diesel truck going, you're not doing that. You're probably averaging about 50 miles an hour. So, it was going to be a long day. Outside of Winslow, yeah, Bart, been there, done that. A guy pulls up next to me and starts waving at me, and I roll the window down, and he goes, "You have a flat tire." Oh, great. So I pull over, and there's a hotline to Penske. So I call that, and 20 minutes of waiting online in the queue, I finally get a hold of somebody, and they go, "Okay, well, we'll call a local person, and I'll get back to you in 10 minutes. Half hour later, no call back, so I call. They say, "Oh, the tire guy will be out there in 20 minutes. All right. It was amazing for me that throughout all of this, there wasn't a single irritation. It was just an experience. I've never been that way. The mind would have been constantly cursing and swearing and complaining of, "Oh, now what time am I going to get to Albuquerque?" Which I ended up getting there at midnight. Fortunately, Becky and her grandson already had the hotel room ready. But it just turned into an experience. And I was even communicating with Regina. We were trading back and forth song titles of Stuck in Winslow, Arizona from the Eagles song. And then when it was all done, it was Willie Nelson's On the Road Again. But just so wonderful. And Regina, for all of this work, because without it, that would have been a horrible three-hour delay of sitting on the roadside outside of Winslow. So thank you for all of this. It has been extremely helpful. Letting go of the mic.
Well, thank you, Ken. I mean, I'm very, very happy to, lead by planning the work. but obviously it wouldn't be helpful if you weren't doing the work. So thank you very much for following through on that. Would someone else like to share from this week's homework or share something that inspires you to kind of stick with it? Lynn, the mic is yours.
Hi, everyone. I had a strange experience. So I'm just going, this was with Second Timothy, and I went through chapter 1 and 2, but what jumped out at me, it was, do not deny feel. It's just a feeling. Hold my hand and explore the feeling. So I wrote, what feelings are you experiencing? Well, I had this dream, but I'm not even sure it was a dream. I had woken up and stopped breathing. So whether I really stopped breathing or it was a dream, I still don't know. But I saw myself lying there, not breathing, and I just kind of gasped. And then I wrote, what was that experience like? And my first thought after that was, am I dying? And I have a trip planned to Italy, and I thought, couldn't I go to Italy first? And is this how it all ends? And then the other night, I woke up at exactly 5:55 a.m., and that with numbers means change. So it's like, what's happening? So I wrote, is this my fear of change? Is this my obstacle being shown to me? And then I read, release yourself by accepting your own innocence. But I cannot fear it and also let it go. So be strong enough to realize the experience holds no limits that could ever limit or hinder you. Allow the moment and allow the experience. Move forward and allow change to come through. And then the quotes, fear is not my salvation. Being willing to experience that which I fear, or yeah, let it go. This understanding, taken to the heart, is a true glimpse of who you are, or who I am. I am all that I am, and that is all I am promised to be. Because in between this, I was taking quotes from Timothy. I choose to release the limits I have chosen for myself. In their release, I see who I am. So here's another quote. It is through fear that I am purified. Do not flee that which life is bringing to you when you know that you can see it coming. It has only come to teach you. So move to the heart and trust. By experiencing it in full, without a wish for salvation, you experience it without dying, and that is salvation. So then it was a click, like, is that the role of my dream? So it was just... I don't know.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Lynn. That was very beautiful, and it's just wonderful to know that you are taking the teachings of 2 Timothy to heart. I used to tell people 2 Timothy will save your life. And the reason I said that is because, you know, when I was going through my primary purification phase and all these really strong emotions were coming up, 2 Timothy was the teaching that I followed in order to rest, accept, and trust through those emotions and come out the other side. So I perceive 2 Timothy to be really important and really, really helpful to us. So thank you for taking it in so deeply. Would someone else like to share? All right, Bart, the mic is yours. Make sure you pull that microphone down in front of your mouth. It's all yours.
Yes, I've done that a number of times. The microphone is over my head and nobody can hear me. Lynn sharing reminded me of the fact that our car, Toyota, crapped out, if that's the word, halfway to our mountain abode. And looking back, I can see how everything was guided, and the Holy Spirit was with us all the way, because Martha went down to a car wash that we had passed, and they filled up two bottles of water, because the motor was certainly overheated, and they run. The two of them, the mother and the little girl, up, and so filled the radiator, and which took a gallon, and the other gallon, they said, when you're halfway home, just fill it up again. And it took all of that. And so I saw, I try to keep the Holy Spirit in all the time. It's like the credit card thing. Don't leave home without it. So I never leave home or around the house without the Holy Spirit in mind. Mm-hmm. And hand in hand, we get it made. Anyway, so Martha called a fellow that we know that's done some work, and he told us what to do. And then he came up and took the car down to his mechanic. And so everything fell into place. And I can only thank the Holy Spirit, because as you know, Regina, I used to be angry all the time when I was young. And this would have taxed, you know, I would have lost a few fuses in the brain. And so I thank the Holy Spirit, because he really looked after us all the time. And I'm going to release the mic now. Thank you.
Yeah, I think I like that Holy Spirit is like a credit card. Don't leave home without it. That's very cute. Lori, the mic is yours.
Okay, can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Oh, sorry, you can hear me. I'm sorry, I haven't done this before actually speaking, but I think I've got it now. I just wanted to say I've been absolutely enjoying all the homework. I listen to a lot of the audios every day. I listen to some of the audios rather than read the NTI. I just find them so stimulating. As well as the A Course in Miracles. I had never done the Course in Miracles, and it's a life changer, that one. I've been finding, as I'm trying to follow more inner guidance, that I am starting to trust it more. I was asking about it last time, and just and finding, you know, very simple messages about what to do now. Even it's even coming up in my dreams. I have a recent dream of it was the worst case scenario of my biggest fear. Somebody had entered my house, a man, and had a gun to my head, and he was repeatedly pulling the trigger, and it kept the gun wouldn't discharge, and he would try again and try again. And I was just asking for inner guidance, what do I do now? And the boy said, tell him you're frightened. And so I did. And I just kept following that inner guidance through it. And it took quite a change in course of the dream. I won't get into any more detail. But suffice it to say that, I feel that things are activated in my dreams, too, that it's something is clicking in.
Yes.
I did find out today my mother, she was diagnosed with the early stages of Alzheimer's, and I just kind of, it didn't occur to me to ask what to do now. I've been eating ice cream and isolating and not really knowing how I feel, so I finally did ask, what do I do now, and it said talk, so That's what I am doing now, and now I'm going to listen, so I'm going to release the mic.
Yeah, Laurie, thank you. I agree with you that if it's showing up in your dreams, it means you're really focusing on it during the day. And I agree with you from my own experience that, you know, isolating an ice cream is hiding. We all know that. I don't always have ice cream, you know, some kind of sweet snack, though. So I think it's great that you noticed that, you know, without judgment, it sounds like. And then just went right back to asking again. And that's perfect. That's what we do. In fact, I don't know if you saw, I made a post in Sharing and Contemplation this week about a song I heard on Christian radio. And the song was singing that a saint is someone who falls down and gets up, falls down and gets up, falls down and gets up. That's what a saint is. And so, you know, that's really important for us to remember because, you know, in our own definitions of perfect, you know, none of us ever seem to meet our own definitions of perfect. You know, we all fall down, right? And so when we see that we've done that, in whatever way we've done that, to just go right back to it again, you know, just, okay, I saw that I isolated an ice cream and so then I decided to ask, you know, so now I just asked and I heard talk and so I'm talking. I mean, that's gorgeous. That's the definition of a saint. So thank you very much. Joanne, the mic is yours.
I suppose you can hear me. I did want to thank you, Regina, for, I asked you a question to ask Regina about the tons of attacks I've been feeling in the resistance. And I've read your response several times. It just helps me hang in there. I'm really having a hard time hanging in there. And, you know, falling down. Well, I am wallowing in the mud while I'm down. So anyway, I decided to look through some of the stuff I wrote this week, and I picked one that I could share. I loved Timothy, 2 Timothy. So NTI's 2 Timothy chapter 1, I wrote, oh my God, this is beautiful. Inner wisdom, teach me. Do not deny your feelings. Do not cover them up with thoughts. Do not rationalize, for the rationalizations are also thoughts that keep you or deny you the experience. Experience the experience. You came here for an experience. Have it and be done with it. Don't miss one part. But remember that guilt is misperception. Recognize it for what it is and feel that experience also. Do not be afraid of the experience of guilt. The key here is to remember your innocence. So,
you can be free and enjoy the roller coaster of emotions that you came to experience. You have the desire to feel the experience, and until you feel the experience, you will not let it go. You will continue the desire. So feel it. Let your curiosity be satisfied, and to do this most successfully, accept your inner innocence. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very much, Joanne, and thank you for hanging in there. You know, if you're going through a tough period, the good news is it only goes up from there. You know, it's like I've said before, this seems to be a series of hills and valleys. and when we're in the valleys, it does mean there's another hill coming. I remember once I was having a really difficult time, and I wrote to Holy Spirit, and I called my difficult time resistance. That was the language I used, or confusion, actually. Confusion was the word I used, and I talked to Holy Spirit about all of this confusion that I'm feeling and how lost I feel, and the Holy Spirit said to me that whenever you're in confusion, it just means that clarity's on its way. Right? And I knew when I heard that that was true, because again, I had experienced these hills and valleys, you know, and every time there had been confusion, what followed was clarity, right? So when you're in confusion, when you're in, you know, in pain, when you're in, hell, you know, what's coming, is another high point. And you know, if you think of it as like a roller coaster, right? A roller coaster that goes down and up and down and up and down and up. So thank you for sticking with it. In fact, it occurred to me this week to just ask you all to please do one thing and just stay with me. You know, just stay with me. You know, it's the dropping out that's going to hurt the worst. Just stay with me, okay? Yeah, just no matter what you go through, just stay. And I promise you, you'll be happy that you did. Yeah, not dropping, exactly. Bart says, Gina Lake says that God is experiencing through the body and we both grow in the process. Good, good. All right, so I think that's, we had decided we were going to share for like 45 minutes and we're just about there. So why don't I go ahead and move to my sharing from the week. I'm going to open up to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, you know, like I said, is, I think it's incredible. I always have thought it was incredible. It's a simple masterpiece. And in fact, when I was having really tough times, I used to keep in NTI, I used to keep 2 Timothy, you know, dog-eared, right? Keep the page folded down. So when it seemed to get really, really tough, I could go and open it and read it again and let it guide me through the pain, but guide me through the pain so that I practiced in a way that was healing, so that I practiced allowing it, practiced rest, accept, and trust, right? Practiced not believing the story. You know, so 2 Timothy was a guide that I used over and over and over again. So that's one thing you all might want to do is just kind of fold that page down or put a bookmark in there. Yeah, Kathy says, just dog-eared it. And when you need it, go get it and read it again because it will guide you through and make sure that the experience that you're having is a healing experience instead of an experience that ends up getting repressed or believed. So, NTI 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I'm going to be kind of skipping around just reading some sentences that I underlined. I do not want you to deny how you feel. Denial is not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it. Feel it with me. And, I see Stephen is asking for 30 seconds. You know what, Stephen? I'd be happy to give you, you know, even 2 or 3 minutes. So, the mic is yours.
Hey, sorry for the interruption. I just got to say, Regina, just a few minutes ago when you were saying stick with me, it just kind of moved something. It was a like a soul invitation. It was really powerful, not just like, hey, hang around. It just really moved me, and I'm guessing it's, I'm not the only one. Lots of times in my life I've heard, hey, Stephen, you know, but this stay with me, I don't know, it just sounded kind of holy. So at any rate, that's what I wanted to say. Thank you so much for it. Okay, I'm releasing the mic. Well, trying to.
Yeah, thank you. You could call it a soul invitation. It was from the heart, you know, because I know, you know, what this process is. Again, I'm taking you through a process that I've already walked through. So I know what it is, and I know how hard it can be sometimes. I know that. But I also know if you stick with it, how much it's worth it. And so, you know, what else would I want for my friends, right? But I'll tell you a real quick little story. Not that basketball is important, but, you know, in our family, basketball was something that we kind of all enjoyed. You know, my dad played college basketball, and I remember we used to go to the local colleges wherever we lived, and we'd watch basketball games a lot, and my brother and my dad would play basketball in the driveway. We always, and we moved a lot, but we always make sure we had, you know, that basketball hoop in the backyard, and, you know, so it was kind of there, and anyway, even though it was always there and something that my family really participated in, it was something that I was kind of left out of because I wasn't good at it. And I always kind of felt bad about that. I felt bad that I couldn't get out there and play basketball with the family because I just wasn't any good at it. And after I was an adult, in fact, I was probably close to 30 years old, my mother got our old home movies that used to be on the reel-to-reel and got them put on video because this was when videotapes were out. You know, this was before DVDs. Got it put on video. And we were watching the video. And I happened to see when I was really young, probably like 8 years old, and we actually got our first basketball goal because before that we were too young. And my brother and I went out there all excited to play basketball. And what I observed in the film was how I threw the basketball a few times, and it did not go in the hoop. I could just see myself do it. I decided I couldn't do it, and I quit. My brother threw the basketball, and it didn't go in the hoop. And he kept trying, and he kept trying, and he kept trying, and he did not quit. Guess how he turned out to be a fairly decent basketball player. And so, you know, I don't want you all to make that mistake, you know, of throwing the basketball a few times and not making it and then deciding that you can't. Because if you decide that you can't and you quit, guess what? Right? And in fact, one of my favorite quotes from Nisargadatta Maharaj is this quote about just sticking with it, just trying and trying and trying again. You know, no matter how poor the results seem to be that you're having, right? No matter how poor your results are, no matter how boring it seems to be, just keep trying and keep trying. You know, and then one day, right, the way he words it is the mind turns around and looks at the self, right? But if we quit trying, we'll never make it. So just don't quit. It's that simple. Just don't quit. All right. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Again, I do not want you to deny how you feel. Denial is not the way of salvation. I want you to look at it and feel it with me. And, you know, I was a little bit lucky for a while in that when I started the spiritual path, I didn't even know there was such a thing as a spiritual community. I was all alone, just me and A Course in Miracles and my inner self. Now, of course, later I did stumble upon the spiritual community, as you know, because I'm here now. But once I got really involved in the spiritual community, for a time, it felt like it added an additional challenge or an additional ego temptation that wasn't there before. And that additional challenge or that additional ego temptation was to act spiritual. You know, when we act spiritual, we do deny our feelings. That's exactly what happens. We deny our feelings, we deny our thoughts, and we act spiritual. So I would rather us not act spiritual. I would rather us just be a circle of friends that are, you know, moving through this, you know, in the best way possible, but kind of forget about that whole spiritual, that, you know, that whole spiritual thing. Because I really think that it's an ego trap. I really think it's an ego trap. So watch that. Remember, we don't want to deny our feelings. We don't want to act spiritual, right? We don't want to act spiritual. We want to be genuine. There's a difference. We want to be genuine. You know, I told you the story about, you know, when the Jordanian pilot was burnt alive by ISIS, and I told you my heart broke and I cried and cried for 2 hours. Well, even that day when I went to write in Facebook about what happened, I heard the ego say, you know, don't tell them you cried for 2 hours. You know, they'll think you're not, you know, they'll think you're not spiritual. Right? They'll think you're not enlightened or whatever, you know, don't tell them. And so because the ego said, don't tell them, I was extra careful to explain that my heart broke and I cried for 2 hours. If any of you guys saw that post, you're like, wow, you know, why is she so loud about the pain she was in? I was so loud about the pain I was in because the ego was saying, hide it. And so I was kind of going the opposite of the ego and really expressing how I felt. But that's what the spiritual ego does. So let's just not be spiritual. Let's forget all about being spiritual. To hell with that. But let's be genuine. Let's be honest. Right? So continuing with 2 Timothy, notice that what you are feeling is a feeling. Move away from the thoughts, explore within you the feeling. And then it says, can you see that it is just a feeling? And last week I think I used the word energy. It's just an energy. And, you know, if you heard my teaching on Sunday morning at the weekly gathering, you know, I talked a lot about, how our emotions are liars. I talked about that here last Tuesday night, but I think the talk on Sunday morning was even more powerful about how our emotions are liars. And when we believe the emotions, we believe the lie. So we want to move out of believing and into watching or exploring with curiosity. You know, and I think I might have told you this story before. I don't remember, but there was a day when I was feeling unfairly treated. And as I sat on my love seat and looked, and it was a very strong feeling of unfairly treated. It wasn't small. But as I sat on my love seat and I practiced just rest, accept, and trust, and I practiced watching that feeling of unfairly treated, what I noticed is that it really was just, you know, just sensations in the body. You know, if I took the story out of it, if I took the labeling out of it, right? We heard Jacqueline's Holy Spirit talk about not labeling. If I took the labeling out of it and just watched it, it was just sensations in the body. And then as I watched it even longer, I couldn't identify a difference between what I was feeling and love. I realized that love was also, you know, felt the same way, that when I felt like I was loving something, I felt the same thing. You know, I couldn't, it felt like it transmuted into love. And just yesterday, I felt a bit of fear. I thought I had done something to break my boyfriend's Jeep. And I felt a bit of fear that I might have broken his Jeep. And of course, the ego wanted me to jump up, run outside, and, you know, and check and see if I had broken it. But instead, I said, no. You know, if it's broken, it's broken. You know, if it's not, it's not. Getting up and running outside right now isn't going to do a thing. So I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to look at these feelings. I'm going to remember, you know, that the Jeep thing is just a story. I'm not feeling fear because I might have broken the Jeep. I'm feeling fear because there's still fear in my mind. And so I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to watch it. And I sat there for about 15 minutes and I watched it. And the same thing, I had that same experience of noticing it was just sensations and not being able to tell the difference between the devotional love that I feel in meditation and these sensations that I was calling fear. When I really looked deeply at them, I couldn't tell the difference. And of course, at the end of the 15 minutes, I was totally at peace. And so then, in a very peaceful way, not at all panicked, I got up and went outside, and the Jeep was fine. You know, but even if it had been broken, you know, by that point, I would have just said, oh, man, you know, I'm sorry I did this. You know, I apologize. I'm sorry. I know I created a problem for you, because he's hoping to trade it in soon for a new truck. But, you know, try just watching, just looking, taking the labeling away, being with it, not running from it, you know, and just watch and see what happens. You might be pretty amazed. So can you see that it is just a feeling or just an energy or just sensations in the body? It's an experience. And it's nothing more than that. The thoughts that evoke the feeling are nothing. They are mere props. It is the feeling or the experience that is the goal. And what this is referring to, again, is this is referring to the story. Lots of spiritual teachings tell stories. And none of the stories are exactly true. They're all pointing toward truth, but none of the stories are exactly true. Which is why you'll hear different spiritual stories, but they all point in the same direction. And the story in NTI, remember, is that we wanted an experience that was different than truth. Right? That was the desire that started this whole ego experience. We wanted an experience that was different from truth. And so this is saying it's the experience that you wanted. You know, you wanted to feel something different from truth. So allow yourself to feel it and be finished with it so that you can return to the realization of yourself, right? It also tells us when we're lost in our thoughts, we rob ourselves of the feelings or the experience that we set out to have. And if you pay close attention to thinking, what you're going to find is that thinking is full, chock plum full of defense mechanisms. And so when we're listening to thinking, we are also denying, repressing, projecting, disassociating from, right? And so if we're listening to our thinking, we really aren't going in for the full experience. We aren't, when I'm listening to my story about how I might have broke the Jeep and how Ron's going to be mad at me because now he can't, you know, trade it in for a truck or whatever, which is, you know, hogwash. But, you know, because even if I had broken it, it could get fixed. But anyway, well, my mind is telling me this story, right? I may be feeling fear, but I'm not really paying attention to the fear exactly. My attention is more on my mind. So the experience is being missed. when I drop the story, and I even drop, as Jacqueline said, the label of fear, and I just go in to see what experience my body is having, that's a completely different posture. And this allows the experience to be had and allows the experience to be to move on through and allows the experience to be finished. But when we're up in our mind, up in the story, we don't allow that to happen, right? So we have to drop out of the story, say, ah, the experience, you know, you may label it at first just because that's what we tend to do. So, oh, the experience of fear is here. Let me look at it, right? Oh, the experience of guilt is here. Let me look at it. But then at that point, drop the label and really look at it like you've never seen it before. What is it actually? You know, what does fear feel like in your body? What does guilt feel like in your body if you don't label it, if you don't believe the story, right? Kathy, the mic is yours. And the mic dropped, Kathy. Please try again.
Okay. Am I okay now? Yeah? Okay, thanks. Just as I'm reflecting on what you're saying in your example about, you know, being in, you know, some small place of fear, not huge fear, but fear nonetheless. I mean, anytime we're out of peace and in fear, it doesn't matter, you know, what form it takes or the intensity that it seems to be, but it feels to me like, at least as I'm listening to you, you know, what we would maybe consider bigger fears. I mean, stuff that's, you know, freak out sort of a sort of fears, or really conflicted situations that create some sort of a fear emotion or a fear feeling. The combination of those two in those situations, the thoughts themselves, and just the rapidity with which the defense mechanisms start up, that trying to protect oneself from really experiencing the intensity of the emotion that comes from intensity of the thought, sometimes just feels like a big old snowball, and it happens so quickly and rolls downhill so fast that, for me at least, it's not until after maybe the entire experience seems to be somewhat over in a form, like maybe words or an exchange, or it seems a little simpler when it's just me in my own mind, and then noticing I'm not at peace. But when someone else is involved, and there's conversation or words being spoken or an argument ensuing, or, you know, some sort of a fevered pitch of conversation, it just feels so much more complicated in that situation, at least for me. And I'm not saying that, you know, both are not opportunities to step back and pause, hopefully find some sense of, you know, where is my attention here? What am I doing here? However you want to bring yourself back to being aware rather than being just snowballed into it. So that's all I wanted to share. Thanks. I will give up the mic.
Yeah, well, I've certainly had that experience many times, and what I learned to do, and again, I don't know if this will work for everybody because I don't live with the people that you all live with or work with the people that you all work with, but what I learned to do, and it worked very well for me, when I noticed that I was upset and getting into a, you know, a heated debate or something like that with someone, is I would just say, oh, wait a minute, you know, I can tell I'm not clear here. I don't think I'm, you know, coming from my sane mind. If it was somebody who knew about the ego and all that, I'd say I'm in my wrong mind. I'm in the ego. But in some way I'd say, you know, I think I need to take a break because I'm not certain that I'm even really, really sure of what I believe or what I think. I think I'm just completely lost here. And I would just excuse myself, and I never had anyone try to stop me from doing that. You know, and they don't like being blamed. If you blame them and say, you're in your wrong mind, they don't like that. But when you say, I'm in my wrong mind, I think I'm confused. I think I need to, you know, I've never had anybody stop me from taking that break, and looking at myself. So, Cheryl, your hand is up. So the mic is yours.
Hi. You know, I was reading the board, and I'm so thrilled that there's a new person in the room. His name is Ahmed, and they've been asking some questions. So I just thought I would let you answer the questions. I welcomed them here. I gave them information about the website to check out. They're very pleased about being here. And so some of the questions are, does everyone get a chance to speak sometime? Or do specific people allowed to talk? I'm sorry I'm new here. I just want to know the rules. And I love the way Regina speaks. So I'm going to drop the mic for you, Regina.
Thank you, Cheryl, and thank you, Ahmed. This is a group called the Gentle Healing Group. We're going through an entire curriculum together. And only people who are actually practicing the curriculum, we do homework, only people who are actually practicing the curriculum and doing the homework are allowed to speak. But everyone is invited to listen. So please hang out. But yeah, only those who are actually doing the homework and truly involved in the curriculum are allowed to speak. Kathy, the mic is yours.
I just wanted to say one more thing in regards to that suggestion, Regina. Oddly enough, that's exactly what I did today. I noticed within myself, I noticed a conversation, what I would call going astray. And I literally said out loud, I am going to end my participation in the conversation right now, because I see that it is not going in a direction that is serving my higher self. And so I feel like I need to take a break from this conversation and just be with, you know, within my own awareness and rest right now. And that was received, you know, what can someone say to that? And that wasn't my intention to shut the other person up at all. I just simply was glad I noticed it for myself. But it was in a conversation that I would not call necessarily heated. So I'm hoping that I remember how effective that was and that I could use that very same thing in a situation that might seem a lot more loaded, so to speak. So yeah. I'll let the mic go. Thanks. I'm glad you just confirmed something that I actually tried today. So I'll let the mic go. Thanks.
Thank you. And I see Lori has her hand up again. So Lori, the mic is yours.
Hi. This is really useful to me right now, because I'm in a Krishnamurti inquiry group, and finding that sometimes it doesn't feel like inquiry. It feels more like intellectualizing or coming from memory or thought. And maybe this would be an approach for me to, because I can get caught up in that. I tend to, you know, go to thought a lot. And it might be a helpful way to not get caught up in that and get back into just settling back and trying to have it come from inner guidance instead of a chatty mind. Thanks. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. And if you keep practicing that skill that you talked about earlier, that what am I to do skill, that's just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger, and it will guide you in every moment. So keep practicing that. Let me just look at 2 Timothy to see what else I really want to talk about, in addition to allowing yourself to feel your feelings and, of course, not believing your thoughts. I think probably another thing that's important, which I know you all read this, but, you know, this idea that we actually see fear as our savior. if you haven't examined this yet, if you start really looking at this, you're going to find that that's true. There's a belief in the mind that fear keeps us safe. It's a crazy belief, but it's a belief in the mind. You know, it's actually this strong. I mean, the belief goes something like this. If I let go of fear, I'm going to do something stupid. You know, like I'm going to walk in front of a car, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to spend all my money too quickly and not have money to pay my bills, or, you know, I'm going to do something stupid. And if you listen to that, think about what that's saying. That's saying without fear, I'm entirely stupid. You know, without fear, I have no wisdom at all. Without fear, I'm not smart enough to look both ways before I cross the street. Without fear, I'm not smart enough to stop at a stop sign. You know, and that's not true. That's not true. You have wisdom. And in fact, the thing that covers your wisdom is fear. And I was very lucky because my dad is actually a pretty wise guy. And he taught me a lot of things when I was a child that Holy Spirit also taught me as an adult, the same lessons. And one of the lessons that my father taught me was that if you panic, you won't know what to do. In any situation, do not panic was always his lesson. If you panic, you won't know what to do. And that's because the fear covers your wisdom. So fear is not your savior, right? And so this is really something to look at, this belief that we have to hold on to our fear because it protects us. It's just not at all true. It's exactly the opposite of true. And another thing, of course, that NTI 2 Timothy talks about is if you let yourself feel fear, right, just be with it in the way that I've already talked about, and you'll experience it in full, just allow it to happen, and what you'll find out is that it's nothing. The way to find out that fear is nothing is to let yourself experience it. And it can get to be a fairly extreme feeling. But if you just allow it to be and just move through it and don't try to save yourself, you know, don't, you know, like depending on what the situation is, like my little situation yesterday, I would have, you know, ran outside and checked right away, you know, to see if I broke the Jeep, right? That would have been trying to save myself. Don't try to save yourself. Just be with the fear. And when you just be with the fear and you come to the other side and you see that fear is nothing, that's salvation. Right? That's when you see that you are beyond fear. That's when you see that you are that which fear doesn't actually even touch. Right? You're the something real that can't be threatened. So I think I'll stop. Well, I guess one more thing I just want to say is that also in 2 Timothy, it asks you to have faith in the healing process. Do not see it as a race. Again, that's, you know, let's not try and beat each other to the finish line of who's healed first. Right? I mean, we may arrive if there is a finish line. We may appear to arrive at different times, but that's irrelevant. Let's forget about that. All right, let's just forget about that. And instead it says relax and pay attention to your healing. Just relax and pay attention to your healing. Embrace each opportunity to heal with gratitude. Have faith in the healing process. All right, so I'm going to put down 2 Timothy, and what I'm going to do is move to today's reading. I'm going to be reading to you today from The Way of Mastery again, and I don't know if I'll be using The Way of Mastery that much longer. You know, I'll look at it and see if there's anything else I want to share, but I'm going to be moving as the primary text that I use during our meetings. I'm going to be moving to The Untethered Soul. So I may be almost done. Oh, bye, Ahmad. It was nice having you here. So So I'm going to read today from Lesson 10 of The Way of Mastery. And remember, the voice of The Way of Mastery is Jesus. So when I say I in this sentence is Jesus. Once I was a man, and I walked upon your plane as all men and women do. But as I walked upon your planet, I began to ponder the meaning of creation, the purpose of my very existence. While others seemed to be gleefully caught up in, or at least surrendered to, the ways of the world, seeking out their momentary distractions, their attempts to gain and control as much wealth as they could, and all of the rest, I would often wander off alone. I would sit beneath the trees beside a flowing stream to try to unlock the mystery that shows forth itself as the beauty of a flower, to try to see the power that revealed itself as the wind that would dance across the grasses, and to count the sparkling diamonds shimmering across the surface of a lake as the morning sun arose to shine its light upon it. I began to learn to ask of the source that mystery, Father, one that has birthed me, why am I? Where am I? Who am I? My desire increasingly became to know the truth that could set all mankind free. Now, if you have been reading my tips this week, it's rather amazing because I actually didn't read chapter 10 of The Way of Mastery until today. I pick these chapters even before I've read them. This goes hand in hand with the tips I've been posting this week, right? I posted the tips. I talked a lot about Buddha this week and Buddha's story. And, you know, how Buddha, his desire, what really motivated him to spiritual practice was the desire to end suffering for all mankind. And in fact, if you watched, you know that I shared a glimpse of that suffering with you all this week, both through the song Happy Birthday, Jesus, and Happy Christmas. Funny, those are both Christmas songs, but I shared a glimpse of that suffering with you. And I mentioned that compassion for those who are suffering more than us, right? Compassion for those who are suffering more than us can be a motivating factor on the spiritual path. And in fact, in spite of any suffering that we are experiencing, if we could just step back from our ego self for a moment and look, what we would notice is that we are actually the fortunate ones in the world. You know, we're not, at least today, in a war-torn nation. Most of us are not starving. In fact, I'm guessing, you know, we have plenty of food and a little evidence of that around the belly area, right? We have roofs over our head. I don't think any of us, as far as I'm aware, are homeless, right? Most of us probably have vehicles to drive. We have iPhones. We have computers. we're the fortunate ones. And what's nice about a life as fortunate as ours is that it actually does free us up somewhat for spiritual practice. You know, if we were in, let's say, Syria right now, you know, with what's going on in Syria, you know, we may be too desperate just with everyday life to even think about spiritual practice. But what we can do is we can have compassion for those who are in those situations. And we can practice spiritually for them. We can awaken for them. Because as we take our ego out of it, by really taking this to the final end of the ego, taking it all the way, as we take our ego out of it, there's less ego energy to create those types of appearances. Right? Because it's ego energy that creates all of that suffering. And plus, as we take our ego out of it, there's all of that pure peace and pure love that comes through from the true self that shines through us into the world. So what Jesus is saying here is that as he started off, his introverted ways just led him to kind of move away from the crowd being very interested in the world, being very interested in trying to make money, you know, being interested in the things the world is interested in. His introverted ways kind of led him away from the world out into nature, out into the quiet of nature and watching nature. And then he began to ponder about the life force in nature. And then he began to ponder about that life force, you know, is that same life force that makes the wind blow across the valley and makes the grass dance, is that the same life force that's in me? And this peace, this joy that I see here in nature, you know, can this be brought to everyone in the world? Can this be our experience rather than the suffering and the fighting that's happening? And he says, my desire, as he pondered these things, right, as he contemplated these questions, my desire increasingly became to know the truth that could set all mankind free. And in fact, in the Bible, Jesus says, my life is a ransom for many. And it's just very possible that Christianity has just always misunderstood what he meant by that. But all he meant was he was motivated to end the ego as a gift to all of humanity. He goes on and says, as I watched the people in their busy work, I began to see that the vast majority of beings totally confused themselves with the body. They lived as if they dwelt within the body and therefore were imprisoned in some strange way. They lived as if what occurred to the body occurred to them. So now he's really noticing, you could say, the contrast between the life force that he became aware of in nature and the way humans perceived themselves and the way humans were driven, right? He's noticing that difference, and he's noticing that the humans are confused. He's noticing the difference between the wrong mind and the right mind. The humans are confused, and of course nature, he could see the right mind reflected in the beingness of nature and the happeningness of nature. He says, at first I did not understand these things, and I perceived myself to be quite odd. Within me there were conflicts. As the fears in my consciousness arose, the fears that are a part of the human consensus reality. Shall I remain like everyone else? Perhaps I should return to my father's carpentry shop and simply accept that I'm destined to just be a carpenter. But there were other voices that spoke to me and called me. He says, the point of all of this is simple. I want to convey to you yet again that the life I lived as a man was not unlike your very own. I began veiled in mystery, a child among children, a human being struggling to make sense of his world. If there be anything that I can give unto you, it is simply this. As you look upon your life and every event that unfolds within it, every time you feel that you have failed, every time that you become conflicted, Every time you are sure that you will never be able to transcend all of these ups and downs and emotional waves that seem to come with living in your world, remember, I have overcome the world. And there's a piece of clarity that came out of my mouth recently. It was probably even Sunday morning or Sunday night. You know, sometimes this is why I encourage people to teach, right? Because you will hear something come out of your own mouth that you really never thought about before. You know, like the teaching comes out of you, right? So I heard a teaching come out of me recently. It might have been Sunday night. I heard myself say something like, if even one person has brought the ego to its final end, that means it's possible for each of us. And it's the minute I said that I knew that was true. If even one person has done it. Because we're all exactly the same. Literally. And that I already know to be true. I know we are exactly the same. So if even one person has ever brought the ego to its final end, gone to complete liberation, full awakening, if even one person has done it, it's possible for all of us. And that's what this paragraph says. And remember, I didn't read this till this morning. Actually, this afternoon. I was busy this morning. It was this afternoon after lunch. If there be anything that I can give unto you, it is simply this. As you look upon your life and every event that unfolds within it, every time you feel that you have failed, every time that you become conflicted, every time you are sure that you will never be able to transcend all of these ups and downs and emotional waves that seem to come with living in your world, remember, I have overcome the world. So what he's saying is, I've done it, which means you can do it. Right? I've done it, which means you can do it. And remember, that's something Tess Hughes said to us in her satsang. She said, you have to believe it's possible for you. In fact, that again is one of the posts I made today in Sharing in Contemplation. I was sharing a message that Michael Langford shared with Kathy when Kathy was sharing some discouragement. And one of the things he said in that letter was that discouragement is of the ego. And if you think about that, you can see how that's true. If I get discouraged, if I decide I can't do this, right? If I decide, you know, I don't have enough focus, I don't have enough time, I don't have enough desire. If I decide this about me and then I quit, ego wins. Of course discouragement is of the ego. It serves the ego. Just like, you know, when I never learned to play basketball. Right? So one thing we have to be aware of as we go through this process is that ego trick is going to show up for us. In fact, probably for most of us, it already has in one form or another. It's telling us that I'm not dedicated enough. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough desire. I can't figure out what awareness watching awareness is, you know. There's some kind of discouragement there that's really whispering, quit. Quit. You'll never do it. Quit. You'll never do it. Quit. That's what it's saying. And so we have to be aware of that trick. And we have to be aware that it is a trick. And we have to remember that Regina could be a great basketball player now if she hadn't quit. Right? If even one person has brought the ego to the final end, that means it's possible for each of us. We just have to stick with it. Jesus says, in the end of all seeking, you must look into the mirror and decide to be the one who heals yourself. You are the one who decides from infinite freedom how to use the power of your mind in each moment. So in the end of all seeking, you must look into the mirror and decide to be the one. Right? Be the one. Be the one. Be the one that doesn't quit. Be the one that sticks through with this, through all of the frustrations, through all of the fear, through all of the boredom, that sticks with it to the end of the ego. Be the one. Jesus says, you cannot leave a finger outside and get to heaven. Just a funny little line. But the way I imagine this funny little line is, imagine that there's a door outside of heaven, inside of heaven, and you go inside the door, but you're a little bit scared to go all the way, so you leave a finger sticking outside, right? And you don't move all the way into it. He says, you cannot leave a finger outside and get to heaven. And then it follows with this sentence. All of your mind, all of your energy, all of your gifts, all of your very awareness must become committed to being the presence of peace. So he's really asking us to commit ourselves to this process, to decide this is what life is about. Remember, he said one of the questions he asked was, why am I? Well, the answer to that question could be to awaken to your true self. That's why you are here. That's why you are. And so commit yourself to that purpose. That's what everything is about, is this one thing. He says, the wisest of students are those that hear the word and put it into practice diligently for themselves. The wisest of students are those that hear the word and put it into practice diligently for themselves. And so, as you know, our homework includes practice. It includes whatever practice is in the Course in Miracles lesson for the day. And right now we also have that practice of awareness, watching awareness. And what Jesus is saying here is the wise students are the ones who participate in the practice, who take the teachings and put it into practice diligently, he says, for themselves. He also says it is a quiet choice within that no one recognizes, that no one sees, that no one hears. And then he goes on to talk about how he was teaching, you know, asking people to go into the closet and pray instead of going out into the corner and praying, you know, in order to get praise. But again, the way I hear this is that means that my awakening is actually a very personal thing. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, I do want you all to go all the way with me. But on the other hand, it doesn't matter whether you do or not. It doesn't matter if week by week and one by one I watch you guys drop out and finally one day I realize it's only me and Cheryl here, and the only reason Cheryl's here is because she's paid to be here. Right? She's working. I continue. And if each one of us make that commitment, right? Think about how powerful that is. This is a quiet inner decision that I'm making. No one else even has to be a part of it. I don't need to go talking to people about it. I just need to be quietly focused within and do it myself. He also talks a little bit about teachers. I'll just share a little bit about what he says about teachers. Whenever you hear of a teacher teaching this, or a teacher teaching that, ask yourself this: do they offer me simplicity or complexity? That's an interesting question. Do they offer me simplicity or complexity? Do they give me complex meditations and prayers and things to do? Or do they simply remind me of the truth and ask me to rest in it? Rest in the awareness of yourself. Do they demand of you that you follow them? Do they demand of you that you give up your own discernment? And I would say that last question is really, really important. Never give up your own discernment. The key is learning how to follow your inner self. If anything, a good teacher helps you learn to follow yourself. They're always encouraging you within, right? In fact, that's his next question. Or do they ask you to look deeper within, right? Or do they ask you to look deeper within? So obviously, in the way he's speaking about teachers here, the focus is simplicity and withinness. And that just makes my heart sing, because I know that if it's simplicity and withinness, it's going to get me there. I don't know why I know that. I just know. Simplicity and withinness. Talking about going within, Jesus says, it does mean living unlike the way the world lives. Yes, it does mean going against the grain. You may seem to need to apply more energy to it at first, as you get the momentum of your mind to turn in another direction, to shake loose all of the sludge that has settled into your consciousness. And another one of the posts that I made this week was, you know, someone asked me in an interview not too long ago, what motivates me? And I realized when I was asked that what motivates me is spiritual practice itself. That, you know, in the beginning, I had to force myself to sit down to meditate. You know, when Michael Langford really started, you know, coaching me in a closer way, and thank God he did, because I was avoiding meditation until that point. But when he began to coach me in a closer way, and then I kind of, my feeling at first, okay, my feeling at first was I needed to meditate, because if he asked me if I was meditating, I didn't want to have to say no. So maybe it was the positive use of guilt. I don't know. You know, he was being so loving, you know, and trying to help me. I didn't want to let him down. So that's kind of what got me started. But then I got on my own roll. You know, then the experience itself of the daily meditation made me want to meditate daily. You know, I kind of got on a roll. So the practice itself encouraged me to more practice. And so Jesus is saying here, again, in the beginning, you may need to apply more energy in order to get that momentum going. He says, but I can promise you, if you will take up such a path, simply, joyfully, gently, patiently, the end of your journey is certain. If you choose a path filled with magic and many complex strategies, the end is not so certain. You know, so simplicity and withinness, the end is certain, is what he's saying. If you're focused on simplicity and withinness, and if you take up this path, or he says, if you take up such a path of simplicity and withinness, if you take up such a path, simply, joyfully, gently, patiently. I love that patiently, right? The end of your journey is certain. He says, let each day be seen as a step. Imagine that if we just said, today I'm just taking another step, right? I don't think, at least in my imagination, we would get as down on ourselves. We would be as judging of ourselves and our, quote, failures if we just said, today I'm taking another step. Each day it's a step, right? That's so gentle. At least it sounds gentle to me. He says, let each day be seen as a step. Let each day be one in which you reaffirm your commitment to releasing everything unlike love in yourself. And that is that's the end of it. Peace be unto you always, and always I am with you. Amen. So I wanted to share that because I do think it's time that we become kind of remotivated. You know, again, we're coming up on 90 days pretty soon. It's kind of funny because in the Garden of Gethsemane song from Jesus Christ Superstar, this is when Jesus is hitting a pretty frustrating point, right? He's getting pretty frustrated in this song if you've ever listened to it. And, you know, he keeps talking about, my God, I've been doing this for 3 years, you know, and then he says, it feels like 30. And then at one point in the song, he says, I've been doing this for 3 years. It feels like 90, you know. And here we are, we're coming up on less than 90, right? Less than 90, which means that frustration could begin to set in. That boredom could begin to set in. That lack of interest could begin to set in. And so we need to remotivate ourselves. Yeah, I sense the group is gaining momentum, George says. That's what we need to do now. We need to gain that momentum. So I'm going to play a song. This is a song that I think I played this on Sunday morning. I also posted it in Facebook. Was it today? It was today. I read all of my tips every day, so then I get confused which one was from today because I review them all every day because I'm also remotivating myself, by the way. Remember, this is really about me. So I read all of my tips every day. But I think that and I play all the songs every day. I read the tip and play the song. Each day I go through them all again, you know. But today is the day that I posted, I believe, The Impossible Dream. And that's a very motivating song for me because, you know, there's that part of the mind that says this awakening thing is impossible, right? We all hear that, don't we? And so to go for that impossible dream and, you know, to go for it anyway and how the world will be better if just one man, you know, does this. You know, it's just such a motivating song. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for us now. So let me... Where are you, Susan? Here we go. Susan Boyle. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. Maybe here it is. Susan Boyle, The Impossible Dream. Let me make sure it's not too loud because she gets kind of loud in the song. Here we go.
To dream, the impossible dream. To fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to rise in my
That's actually, it says here that that's from Susan Boyle's album called Enjoy the Silence. Isn't that a perfect title for the album that that song's on? Enjoy the Silence. Let's see, George has written, might be helpful to imagine that every moment of pure peace is the end of the journey. You just want it to be more of your life, so you keep relentlessly at it. Yeah, good, good. Let's see, did I miss something up above here? What's this comment? Lynn says, the harder part is remembering that the ego fights most when we are close to making a breakthrough. That is important to remember, right? If the ego is really acting up, we're close to making a breakthrough. Yeah. All right, so how about your homework for next week? Shall we move on to that? Let me pull that up here. Your homework for next week. Your first homework assignment for next week is that you're going to practice workbook lessons 87 to 93. Let me paste this in the room. Hold on, my little, there we go. There you go, workbook lessons 87 to 93. Also remember to practice that daily awareness watching awareness meditation for 10 to 15 minutes each day. And again, if that's a part of the workbook lesson, then you're covered then. But if we have a workbook lesson where meditation isn't a part of it, be sure and do this as well. So workbook lessons 87 to 93, and then practice daily awareness watching awareness meditation for 10 to 15 minutes each day. Now the next assignment's a really interesting one. First, contemplate your spiritual aspiration, and please make sure you do that first. Make sure you're really aware of your spiritual aspiration, and then you're going to watch The Metaphysical Secret, The Law of Attraction. This is a movie in YouTube. It's in the Gentle Healing playlist, and when I post the homework, I'll post a link directly to the movie. Now this, the reason you want to contemplate your spiritual aspiration first and be really clear on that is because in the movie, they're not teaching you to achieve your spiritual aspiration. They're teaching you to get rich, to get the guy or get the girl, right? They're focused on the things of the world. However, there are a lot of tips in that movie, even when they're teaching how to get rich or how to get the guy or the girl. There are a lot of great tips that are also going to help you to achieve your spiritual aspiration. So this is a time that I want you to use your discernment, because there are some thoughts in this movie that can lead you astray. I want you to go in very focused on your spiritual aspiration, asking the question within yourself, what's here that can help me with my spiritual aspiration? What's here that can motivate me to practice, etc., etc.? And I want you to find those things and write those things down. So be very focused. Do not get distracted, right? It's up above. Bart, if you'll read up above, just the comment just before you wrote, repeat the movie. It says, first, contemplate your spiritual aspiration. Next, watch, and then that's the movie name in quotes, The Metaphysical Secret, The Law of Attraction. The Metaphysical Secret, The Law of Attraction. And that's in the Gentle Healing playlist. You could also just find it in YouTube by typing in The Metaphysical Secret, but I will also link to it when I post the homework. Listen for teachings in this video that will help you realize, achieve your spiritual aspiration. Take notes on those things that will help you realize, achieve your spiritual aspiration. Okay? So that's the second homework. Now the third homework . Listen to the RDA teaching, The Secret Holy Spirit Style, Parts 1 and 2. And they can be found at reginadonacres.com under Classics, One Dozen Classics, audio number 12. And again, that will be posted a link to it with the homework. And then the last thing, and make sure you do these in this order, because it's important to do these, the homework this week, in this order. So the last thing is you're going to create a visualization plan that promotes your spiritual aspiration. And what you'll hear me do in the RDA teaching, the secret Holy Spirit style, you'll hear me and how I created my visualization plan. And so then you'll create your own visualization plan that promotes your spiritual aspiration. And we're going to spend about 6 weeks as a part of our homework focusing on that visualization plan that you create. We're going to be adding that to the homework. But then we're going to forget about it. That's enough time. Then we'll kind of forget about it and just let it happen. So again, you're watching The Metaphysical Secret, The Law of Attraction. Then you're going to listen to The Secret Holy Spirit Style, Parts 1 and 2. Then you're going to create your own visualization plan. Don't get distracted into wealth and beauty and, you know, special quality of romantic relationships. Stay focused on spiritual aspiration. And that's really all I have. We have 5 minutes left, so 4 minutes left now. So does anybody have a question for me or a final comment before we wrap it up? All right, Cheryl, the mic is yours.
All right. Well, I feel inspired to share this. So what I did was I made a point to put this homework assignment in my notes on my phone today. Just kind of dawned on me a few seconds ago to do this. And so I'm committing to playing your The Secret Holy Spirit Style, Parts 1 and 2. I am committed to playing them while I am working here. So if you want to come in, let's see, Sunday, and then Monday evening, you know, the day before next week's next class, if you didn't get a chance to listen, you can come in and listen. So look at the schedule, whether it says on the schedule, if it says there is open time and you can listen to, you know, you're going to be listening to audio recordings, I am committing to doing that. I'm dropping the mic. And I'm loving this, Regina. Thank you so much. I am very, very grateful to be here. All right.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. That's a great idea to play the homework assignments, if they're audios, to play them during open hours. That's wonderful. And, you know, some of these things people want to hear even more than once. They may listen once on their own, but then they may want to listen again. So that's great. So that's it, guys. Have a wonderful week then. Oh, I should tell you, the next 2 weeks I may not be here. I can't say whether I will or won't be because I'm traveling. And so Jacqueline is going to be your facilitator, but I am going to work very closely with her to make sure she's an incredible facilitator. Like, I'm going to share with her my notes from the movie that we're watching this week about the law of attraction and all of that. So please come. And then if I can be here, I will be here too, but I'll be here as a participant. In that case, I'm not going to take it away from Jacqueline. So Jacqueline will be leading the next 2 weeks while I'm traveling. And then in May, I will be back with y'all. Okay? All right. So keep up the good work. I will continue to post tips every day in Facebook. I can do that even while traveling. Bye.